This is the Nature of Cities podcast. This is the Nature of Cities, a podcast about cities as ecosystems, ecosystems of people, nature, and buildings. Open space, public space, green space that makes cities livable, resilient, and sustainable. Episode 2, closing the sustainability and equity gap. What does it mean to be both a green and just city? This is a conversation between architect Tony Griffin of the Max Bond Institute at Columbia University and me, David Maddox. We had a conversation in October at Municipal Arts Society of New York 2014 Summit about connecting the idea of the green city and the just city. For the Nature of Cities, it's the start of an international project with partners in cities around the world to discuss the relationship of the green city to the just city, and moreover, craft actionable metrics for connecting green and open space to justice, equitability, and fairness. These metrics must incorporate concepts for access to open space, but also access to minimum standards for types of and qualities of green space and open space. This project is funded in part by a grant from the Ford Foundation. Here's the audio from my conversation with Tony Griffin.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, David.
So
how are
happy
you?
To be here with you right now.
It's fun to be here with you, too.
As we embark on this new project together, I wanted to ask you about the idea of the just city. For you, is the just city the same as the equitable city? And what are the essential elements that would define it for us so we would know when we achieve?
When you know it, when you see it, right? Well, I mean, it's great to follow the series of panels that have happened just in the last 45 minutes or so, because I think many of them spoke to a number of the issues that we think about at the J. Max Bond Center on Design for the Just City. And we sort of think that maybe justice and equity are not the same. You know, equity, as we've been talking about it today, and I think as it's most commonly thought of, is really about this notion of fairness and perhaps distributive, how we distribute affordable housing, how we distribute access to quality foods, et cetera. And we begin to think that thinking singularly about equity was not enough. And issues like sustainability and resiliency and livability certainly try to get at that, but we felt like there was still something missing when we think about the level of urban injustice that exists in our cities, sort of trending back from the trends of abandoning cities and how that left cities more segregated by race, income, educational affordability, how that created a sense of isolation for some members of our community, and that we needed to get at a little bit more of the sort of social issues that were embedded in how cities are transforming. And so our initiative at the Center for Design for the Just City is interested in looking at justice as it relates to both distributive justice, as it relates to restorative justice, and as it relates to interpersonal justice, these issues of trust and respect. And more importantly, we're interested in whether or not the role of design can actually have an impact on increased urban justice. So I think behind me are a series of core values which we are beginning to develop within the center, which are inclusive of issues of equity, but we think are also inclusive of choice, access, connectivity, ownership, diversity, participation, inclusion and belonging, beauty, and creative innovation. Inclusivity and belonging, we think, is very important as it relates to our sense of feeling like we belong in a space, and as well as your sense of whether I belong in that space. We probably underestimate thinking beauty is a part of what we think about when we say the just city or equity, but I think it's important to be very explicit about everyone's right to beautiful environments, even though you might define beauty differently than me. Ownership and participation is very important. Who's sitting at the table and making decisions? Who gets to decide? You know, as one of under 300 Black African-American female architects in this country. The decision makers in our cities are not always diverse. So it was important for us to include these issues in the Just City, and that's what we think some of the differences are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, David, I know that you've been thinking about this issue of equity, too, even though your work is very heavily steeped in the ecological and social sort of issues related to the Green City. Mm-hmm. How would you integrate issues of equity? How do you integrate issues of equity in your Green City work?
It's a very much of a process. So at the Nature of Cities, our blog and discussion site, we talk a lot about the idea of constructing green spaces and open spaces in cities, but from every point of view, from a design point of view, from an ecological point of view, a social point of view. One of the things that we are particularly interested in is the idea of access. We talk a lot about the idea of ecosystem services, biophysical ecosystem services such as heat island effects, stormwater management, storm surge protection, but also social ecosystem services, happiness, beauty, biodiversity, connection to community, health. One of the core things that we want to make sure that every citizen, every person living in cities has is access to those ecosystem services of all types. I've shown two examples. There in New York, for example, is a map of the green spaces of New York. One of the things that we know is that there is a fair amount of heterogeneity in where those green spaces are. If we ask the question, who should have access to the ecosystem services, the goods that ecosystems provide? The answer is everybody, right? Everybody needs to have access to those. Over the years, we've been relatively good at discussing, not enough, but relatively good at discussing the idea of environmental bads in neighborhoods, the fact that poor neighborhoods are more likely to get things like dumps or incinerators and so on. We have talked less about the idea of how do we distribute the environmental goods of green spaces, the fact that we need to make sure that there are good, high-quality parks in all the neighborhoods of the city. Now, New York, in Plan YC, there's some relevant metrics in this case, the desire to have a park within a 10-minute walk of every person in the city, and that's a good start. Other cities around the world are doing desperately badly in that case. On the right, for example, is Mumbai. If you can imagine, here in New York, we have about 4 meters square per person of green and open space. So you can imagine, for the New Yorkers in the room, you can imagine sort of how that feels here in New York. In Mumbai, it's 1/100th of that. And you can see that big green space on the top of Mumbai, that's Sanjay Gupta National Park, which actually is not really accessible to anybody because it has leopards, has a leopard population inside it. So nobody goes there. If you really want to walk in the woods, that's a good place to go for a brief amount of time.
But their ratio of open space per 1,000 leopards is probably pretty good.
It's very good.
Yeah, okay.
So if you walk around Mumbai, there is no open space. People walk on the bridge abutments. And the point is that in different cities, the challenges are likely to be different in different cities. Mm-hmm. So in New York, we're not bad at access yet. We have a ways to go, but that might be more about access to what and what quality of things. In Mumbai, it's just about access straight up. We need more access in general. One of the things I'm so excited about as a design imperative is the idea of linear parks. Mm-hmm. Because in urban spaces, there are relatively few opportunities to create new parks. Andrew Rudd said earlier that once the streets are there, they're there for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to change those things. So we have to look for the opportunities to create these new spaces. So this idea of a linear park, meter square per meter square, creates a lot more access for more people. Mm-hmm. Lots of cities have been involved in these linear parks, and I think is going to have a remarkable value for the idea of access and justice, the connection between green spaces and justice in cities. So.
Well, I'm glad that you sort of mentioned the fact that we've started to measure the sort of how many, and our access issues to it. And I think the reason why we've expanded our core values of the Just City is because we're actually interested in these sort of qualitative aspects. And again, specifically the role of design. So what we're doing is translating those core values into a series of metrics. Mm. So imagine, let's take some of the Plan NYC metrics that's looking at, you know, the amount of acres per 100 people, open space, can you get to a park within 10 minutes or so? But now we want to get at the sort of quality of that open space. It's not enough just to be able to walk to something that's green on a map, but how is it designed in such a way that it absolutely is a start, but how is it designed in such a way that enables these issues, these values of belonging and inclusion? How does it enable participation? Who are the stewards of this park? Who activates the park space? And so when we really want to talk about something beyond just equity, the Just City values for us begin to allow us to do that. So we're right now working with Gehl Architects and doing an evaluation of the New York City Public Plaza program. So not only looking at its economic benefits, but also looking at its social benefits. So we're applying some of these values and a series of metrics to how those spaces work, and ultimately
Gale Architects in Copenhagen.
In Copenhagen, it has an office here now. Mm-hmm. And we hope to do that at the neighborhood scale, throughout the public realm scale, and even at the sort of site-specific scale. So what's next for your work in the Green City movement?
Those 10 that you put together, there are so many ways in which the idea of the Green City, from the point of view of green and open space, by which I mean pocket parks to mm-hmm. bigger parks, regional mm-hmm. parks, fits into a number of those 10 elements. I'm excited about the idea of developing what are the metrics that we could use to start to identify, starting this idea of access, but then access to what? New Yorkers for Parks here has done some really good work creating some of these metrics for New York. And if we can expand some of those metrics to apply to other cities, Mumbai, São Paulo, other cities that are going to have to make decisions about access and green justice right from the start. And so the next thing is to try to develop what are the kind of metrics that work not only in New York, but can be applied to other cities around the world.
So I have this idea. Why don't Nature of Cities, the JMX Bond Center, and MS have a little collaboration?
Okay.
That's a
that
deal.
Sounds good.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
And I'm your host, David Maddox of New York City, founder and editor of thenatureofcities.com. You've been listening to This is the Nature of Cities podcast. Produced by The Nature of Cities. Music by David Maddox. Copyright 2015, The Nature of Cities, all rights reserved. For more information about this or other Nature of Cities productions or publications, see thenatureofcities.com.